the Lord with you. I've missed you guys. I feel like I haven't seen some of you in a long time, and it's not your fault. It's mine. So I just want to just thank the Lord that we just get to be here together, and we just get to lift up his name. And I want you just to take this time and just get into true worship and praise with him. Amen? Because he's deserving of everything we've got. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Song for you. The words will be up. We weren't going to do it, but then the Lord said, do it. So we're faithful to the Lord. And this song comes out. I think it's important sometimes to know the heart behind why some songs are written, but it's the Word of God. So the heart is the Word of God. Amen. But this was written when these people's grandparent was in a bad way physically and with the health. And they pretty much proclaimed that even in the darkness, even in the silence, you're here. And I know no matter if it's silent or if you're working, you're here. And I believe you. Amen? And we have to have that. We've got to understand that no matter what is going on, he is here. Amen?
I walk through the fire. purify me. I know you're with me there. God, you hold the victory. You hold the victory. And I know you're with me there. I walk proudly through the valley of the shadow of death. And I will fear no evil, cause this is what you said. Even in the silence, you're working, and I believe it still. I believe it still. So let your promise be fulfilled. I put it all back in your hands and find my confidence in you alone. So who am I to fear when you are for me? I will trust in you alone. Proudly through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil, cause this is what you said. Even in the silence, Jesus, you're working, and I believe it still. I believe it still. So let your promise be fulfilled. Even in the darkness, Jesus, you're working, and I believe it still. I believe it still. So let your promise be fulfilled. Stays the same. I know my help is on the way. I believe in you will never change. Your promise stays the same. I know my help is on the way. I believe in you will never change.
So let your promise be fulfilled.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let it be fulfilled, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that he will do what he says he will do? Amen. That his promise to you will be fulfilled. Your seed shall be saved. Your kids shall walk in the way that you have taught them. Raise a child when they were young, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. How many of you believe that by the stripes of Jesus that you're healed? How many of you believe that healing's not just before your physical body, but for your mental self? For hurts and things that were put on you to take off bitterness and anger. He will do what he said he would do. Amen. Amen. That's why he's worthy. Amen. He's so worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're so worthy, Father God. Hallelujah.
I'm gonna sing till my heart starts changing. I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way that I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I'm gonna live like my King is risen. Gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you made is as good as done. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. Pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. When I sat by that hospital bed, you are worthy. As she could barely lift her head, you are worthy. And after all those tears were shed, you are worthy. I'll never stop singing your praise. I'll never stop singing your praise. In the blessing and in pain, you are worthy.
Come on.
Whether you say yes or no or wait, you are worthy. And through it all, I choose to say, you are worthy. Stop singing your praise. I'll never stop singing your praise. And when I finally see your face, I'll cry worthy. When you wipe these tears away, I'll cry worthy. Above every other name, you are worthy. I'll never stop singing your praise. 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 I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises. In blessing and breaking, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. I give you my worship, you still deserve it. You're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises, your blessing and breathing. You're worthy, you're worthy.
Jesus,
you're worthy of my song.
You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy of my song. You're worthy of my praise. You're worthy of my worship, Lord. You're worthy that every breath that comes out of me worships you. Worthy of it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo. Worthy. You're worthy.
You're worthy of it all.
What the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's His goodness and mercy and the power of His blood. And I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's His goodness and choices made that I regret. Oh, I would still be lost. Yes, we would. Oh, but for the mercy of God. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. This is goodness and mercy. wasn't based on what I've done. It's His goodness and mercy and the power of His blood. Was the cross
there
for me that my Savior carried? Now I've been made free by the mercy of God. Was the grave meant for me where my sin lay buried? Now I stand free by the mercy of God. Was the cross meant for me that my Savior carried? Now I've been made free by the mercy of God. Was the great meant for me where my sin lay buried? Now I stand redeemed by the mercy of God. Now I goodness and mercy in the power of His blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's His goodness and mercy in the power of His blood. It's His goodness and mercy in the power of His love.
Was. Amen. 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 We got another song for you that's new, but I think many of us may have heard this one. And the words will be up there. But it's beautiful. Hallelujah. Lord, we just owe You it all. We owe everything to You, Father God, for everything that You've done. Hallelujah. We pray.
My words fall short, but I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song we sing, and You never do. So I throw up my hands, praise You again and again. It's all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I throw up my hands, praise You again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. praise you again and again. The song that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing less than for a king, except for
and praise you again and again. All that I have is a hallelujah. For a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. One more time. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Praise you. Lord, you are worthy of it all. And we just thank you. We can't even sometimes put into words how grateful we are for you. Thank you for allowing us to worship you and come into your presence. Oh, Lord, we just give you honor. Hallelujah. You are worthy beyond any words we could speak. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. He is so good.
Amen. All the
time. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Listen, hallelujah. You could shout for the Lord.
Amen.
You can clap for the Lord. You can jump up and down for the Lord. They did it in the Word. David got so beside himself that now we don't necessarily maybe want this to happen, but David got so beside himself that his clothes just started coming off.
Amen. Amen.
Praise and the person the that was cursed was the person making fun of him. It wasn't David. It was the person making fun of him, which was his wife. So listen, if you want to shout your voice out to the Lord, you do it. Amen. Amen. You want to clap your hands into the Lord, you do it.
Amen.
He is worthy of everything that we have.
Amen.
If you're going to cheer at a football game, you better cheer louder for Jesus than anything else. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Lord.
He's just so good.
Amen.
I've been pinned up at home for like, what, two Sundays, three Sundays in a row now? I'm telling you, that thing kicked my behind, but I'm back.
Amen.
Yes. I'm excited to be here with y'all.
Amen. Praise God. Are you excited about being away from me, too?
I'm not kind of away from you yet. You're standing. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Praise
He's
God.
Been a good caregiver.
Yeah.
He's been a great caregiver.
I took good care of you, babe.
Except for the couple times I had to say, Phil, are you really going to get it for me?
Amen.
No, praise he's God. Excellent caregiver. He's better than I am. I just have to say.
Amen.
But he is more like the girl.
Hey, stop that.
The sensitive, talkative one. Y'all know what I mean. And I'm the quiet, like, not so sensitive. You want me to share my feelings? Why? Yeah. And Phil just pours them out. Honey, did I ever tell you how much I love you? I'm like, yeah, hon. Oh, I love you too.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So what we got going on? So today after church, we have Next Steps, which is kind of just our membership. Come and learn more about the church. Let us know what we're about.
Opportunities,
absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, well, we'll get together in that meeting, those of you that are coming, and we'll learn a little more about the church and history and definitely go through foundational beliefs. And then we'll also talk about opportunities for you to help out in different areas within the church.
Amen.
And it'll be a good time together. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
And then next Saturday, or this coming Saturday, is our men's breakfast.
Amen.
And how many of you know Easter's like 3 weeks away?
Whoa, wow.
Carrie said, can I tell you about a song for Easter? And I'm like, I've been sick, y'all. I haven't even thought about Easter. So I'm like, oh, yeah. It probably would have been best to do that at practice yesterday. So Easter's coming up. We're going to have an early morning service at 8.
Amen.
We're not going to call it sunrise because it's not quite sunrise, is it? But early morning at 8, And then we're going to have breakfast in between and then have our normal 10 o'clock service. And our morning service is going to be about communion and just God is healing. Mm-hmm. Amen, miracle. Amen. Miracles and healing and Amen. Communion and just being grateful for everything that he's done. Amen. But we Amen. Should be that every single day. And Amen. Then what do we have coming up after that? Women's breakfast. If you've not been, we have it at the first Saturday of every month. And it is at 9 o'clock here at the church. So is the men's breakfast, 9 o'clock here at the church. And we have a group of ladies that take turns, and we all make food. So you don't have to bring any food unless it's your turn to make it, if you want to make it. And then we have different ladies that bring the word every when I'm not sick and Marie's, I have to take over and do it. You have a different lady that brings the word to us and studies. Amen. And then everybody just comes in and gives their perspective and what's been going on. And it just is an amazing time of fellowship in learning the word and just getting stronger in the Lord with each other. Amen. So we invite you all to come out. Miss Sarah, she's not here today because I think she's been under the weather too. She'll be our teacher for next month, so we're excited about that. We don't know who teaches the men. Hopefully somebody does.
Amen.
Who teaches the men?
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Nobody? The Lord. That Lord. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit. That's Woo. What we need. We can't have the Amen. Men taken over. Let the Holy Spirit. No, I'm just kidding. It's okay. I'm just joking. I love my husband, and I am subservient to my husband as the head of my house. I just like to joke about it, okay?
Amen. Amen.
So if you're new Praise here, God. I'm going to quit joking so much because he might take me serious. Okay? I think.
Well, you are definitely back, babe. Praise God. You are definitely feeling better. Amen.
I am. I feel like I got energy for the first time in a long time. Like, you Amen. Don't understand. Mm-hmm. When you sleep almost 24/7, you can't hardly talk.
I know.
I've had some words That's, stored up.
Amen.
I'm ready to praise the Lord. I'm ready to hear his word. And I'm Amen. Ready for what's next.
Amen. And what is next is that we are going to take just a moment here to have a special time where we're going to have somebody come up and give a little testimony about the goodness of life. And just things that are happening. So, Jason, get up here for a minute. Praise God. Every now and then it's good to hear somebody and just hear what they have to say. It's good to hear and hear what they have to say about Jesus and life. Amen?
Praise God.
Life sucks. I'm going to be honest about it. It Whoa. Does. But the truth of it is beginning of this year, I started a different journey with the Lord. And I've done my best to submit myself to what he wants. And the more I do that, the less of me that sticks around, at least, you know, the less Amen. Of that filthy stuff that sticks around. Amen. So I want to encourage you guys to continue to do that as well. Take the rest of this year and submit yourself, as I'm nowhere near where I need to be, so I'm still doing it. But with that being said, I want to just address a few things that I've had going on in my life. So after you've gone through a battle, you tend to fortify yourself and keep walls up to keep yourself from being damaged by those things. And the Lord's knocked those walls down pretty considerably for me. And
Amen.
One of those walls is actually sitting here right now. So Crystal, can you come here?
Uh-oh.
So, Whoa. Crystal, you know that, you know what? Screw it. Will you marry me?
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
There you go.
Woo. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You deviated from our plan. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wasn't that awesome? Praise God. Well, you know how we are here. We always have to be very transparent, okay? And so I'm going to share a little bit about Jason and Crystal. I hope she doesn't kill me later. But anyhow, what's so funny is I was excited about them coming together. And here recently, I guess Mr. Jason has been teasing Crystal, you know, about this whole proposal thing. And so this morning, I was talking to her without saying a word, and I just asked her how everything was going. And she said, it's going good. But when he really asked me just to tease him, since he's been teasing me so much, I'm going to say no first. So I was waiting for the moment, because it would have been beautiful. It would have shocked him, and we would have recovered from it just fine. But I think she was too surprised by the fact that he did that here. So I'm very proud of them and very excited for them. And they are going to have a great future in the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. So we will be announcing again in the future when they're going to be getting married. And I'm sure we're going to be all invited to see the great time. I know. It's 7:14 now, right? Amen. But anyhow, it's going to be beautiful. Amen. Praise God. Okay, well, we'll go ahead. Did the children take off? I think they wanted to be here to see all the fireworks today, but hallelujah. Amen. So we are going to go to the Bible, which is always the right place to go. Amen. And we're going to look here just for a minute. I want to read something to you in the book of Luke. And this is for our offering today. It says this in verse 32 of Luke chapter 6. For if you love them which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. And here's what I really want to focus on in this scripture is that when it comes to giving, I want you to know that here the Lord is telling us, and I want you to give kindness, I want you to give mercy, I want you to give those things, even to those who aren't deserving, but also I want you to know something, that even in your giving, I pray that your giving goes beyond just tithing in church and just offerings in church, amen? I want you to know that as an individual, personally, there are going to be times where God wants you to sow into someone else's life. I'm telling you, it might just be buying gas for somebody. It might be buying food for somebody. It might be whatever way the Lord has you invest in someone. It might be someone's just going through a tough time, and you feel by the Lord that you should sow into their life to help them. I want you to know that as a church, there's times where we pay electric bills or do different things for people just to help them in the times that they have a need. Because as people of faith, you want to be responsible for those kinds of things. Amen? And I want you to know something, that when you give to somebody, do it out of a sincere heart and do it out of proper motive. I want you to know something. Do it just because it's kind. Do it just because it's right. I want you to know that even when you give to the church, your giving should be the same way. When you give your tithes and offerings, you're doing that because you love God and because it's a right way, according to the word, that you can serve God in that area. Amen? And I just want us to all have pure hearts and look for times for God to use us. I want you to know I could go through a litany of times where the Lord has used Pastor Regina and I just to sow into people's lives, just to be kind. It's a part of your love language. It's a part of your nature. The Bible says that it's better to give than to receive. And I want you to know that your Father in heaven first demonstrated giving kindness towards you through his Son. So you know, if you're made in his image, giving is part of who you are. And you should do it just because God is a part of your life and a part of who you are. Amen? So let's make sure that when we're doing things, that we know what's in the sincerity of our heart, and let's do it right. Oh, and I also want to say something that I forgot here that the last week or so, I mentioned the fact that we're doing a regular offering and a special offering. Praise God. I hope you guys remember that we got a bill from about several years ago, but we didn't get it till December, and we want to pay that bill. And so we're giving you an opportunity to sow a special offering towards that. She's going to give you details.
At least I'm going to clear a little bit up.
Okay.
It's not that we did not pay this bill.
Right.
There was a person in our congregation that wanted to, right after we built the church, wanted to add on to the parking lot. I simply said that we're not in a position where we can do that. He said, no, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to take care of it all. You won't have to deal with any of it. It'll be done. Don't worry about it. So it got done. He told us it was finished. So we never thought about it again, to be honest with you. He has since passed away. And I know that he never received an invoice for this. Okay. So it just happened. We're not blaming any. It just happened. But I just don't want people to think that we're not paying our bills. Mm-hmm. That's not what happened. We received it. And I got a call from him. And he told me that it was unpaid. And I said, well, we were under the impression it was paid. But I said, but because we are who we are, we don't want you to go without your money. And so we're going to go ahead and pay the bill. And so that's what we're taking the special. It was a $4,550 bill that we were not expecting. And so we're taking up the offering to cover that expense.
Amen. So we're going to do the regular offering first, praise God, which I'm going to pray about right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for just who you are in our life, God. We thank you that because we live for you, we get to live this life in a way that no one else that lives without you will ever have, God. God, that we get to live it with peace. We get to live it with clarity, Father, and we get to live it by faith. And Lord, I just pray your hand of blessing upon everyone today, Father. Lord, I thank you for your goodness, God. And in this area of giving, I thank you that our hearts are right in what we do. Every time we do it, Father. And Lord, we just give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So you can bring your tithes and offerings for the regular offering now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, now we're going to give an opportunity for people who want to give towards a special offering to go ahead and bring your giving at this time, because I forgot last time and someone even asked me, hey, are you going to take up for the special offering? So let's take up for the special offering right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, God. We thank you for everything that's done for this house, and we do it in honor of you, Father God, and always focus on wanting to give you, God, the glory for everything you do, Father. And Lord, I just thank you in the name of Jesus that as people sow into this special opportunity, God, that you're with them, Father, and you're blessing them, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Now you can give to the special offering that's on your own.
Soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me and lift up your song, 'cause you got lightning. don't you get shy when the lyrics of your song? Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord.
Okay, one announcement we forgot to make was, everybody aware of the solar eclipse that's coming through on the 8th, right? Okay, we are going to open up our parking lot and charge $10 per car. We're only doing that because that's what they're charging over there at the ball fields, and we want to be consistent with them. And I believe that once we get the expenses of what we've gotten left, we're going to donate that to the ball fields. So we're not going to keep that. We're not doing it to raise money. We're doing it to be a blessing, but also so that they are not mad at us because we're charging zero, they're charging 10, and that we want to be good neighbors. Amen?
Amen.
So please be thinking if you would like to help. We don't have the sign-out sheet out there right now, but we'll have it out there next week, okay? And if you would like to come and help that day, it's going to be kind of crazy, I hear.
Amen.
I think 100,000 cars in this area, and they're expecting way more than that down in Botkins and stuff. So, again, just keep that in mind. If you'd like to help, we're going to put a sign-up sheet out next week.
Amen. Praise God. I want you to sign up to help with the clips. That's going to be wonderful. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to dig in here just a little bit more. And last week, the last few weeks, we've been talking, obviously, about making sure that the priorities in our life start with God. And that we make sure that the Lord is the center of our life. Amen? Because we learned even last week that the Bible says this, that if we build our life upon the right rock, Christ Jesus, that when the storms of life come our way, guess what? They won't shake us, they won't make us fall apart, and that we will be able to navigate everything in life. I want you to understand something, that everyone must get the realization that you were never meant to navigate life on your own power. From the foundation of mankind, from the very fact that the Lord breathed breath into man, it was his confirmation to let us know that if we're living and breathing only by his power, then to live this life properly, we need his work in our life. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to know something, that when you have a car, you don't take it to the dentist. You take it to the mechanic, amen? I want you to know something. When we have this life, we shouldn't take it to the world. We shouldn't take it to the astrologist or anybody else. We should take our life to the Lord, amen? And I want you to know something, that God throughout his word, from the beginning till now, gives this time throughout scripture where he lets us know how much he's with us. I want you to know that I'm just going to read this just in reference, because whenever you dig into the greatness of God, you will always find that if you're with him, he's on your side. I want you to know something, that it says in Isaiah 41:13, it says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to read something here in the book of Psalms. Praise God. Psalms 145. I want you to see what it says right here in Psalms 145. Verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." I want you to know something, that one thing I want you to have in your heart is that, first of all, not only can you call upon the Lord, but you call upon him in transparency and truth. Don't be afraid to let God know what's going on in your life. Don't be afraid to let God know what's really in your heart. I want you to understand something. You may try to hide yourself around people. You may try to put on fronts and pretend to be something that you're not quite yet, but maybe you want to be. You know, you want to be strong. You want to be this. And I'm not against any of that except for this one thing. When it comes to God, you don't have to be fake. Hallelujah. We don't have to be phony. I want you to know something. You're not hiding anything from him anyway. Not only did he create you, but the Bible says that he knows the end from the beginning. I want you to know something. He knows everything you've been through. He knows everything that's laid out in front of you. And you know what's so amazing about the goodness of God is that he looks upon us in such a capacity of love that if we will open up our heart, no matter where we are in life, God will help us from that moment moving forward without fail. You know, the Bible says that God will direct our path. The Bible says that our Father can take us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want to remind you that the Bible says this. Those who are in the Lord are free indeed. You know what's so powerful? And I just want to lay this out for you. What's so powerful when we reference these types of things is that sometimes if we're not careful, we don't realize that before God, before we got saved, before the Lord Jesus Christ came into our heart to be Lord and Savior, we might not know it, but we had, even though we thought we had liberty and freedom to do whatever we want, the truth is we had oppression. We had bondage. We had the authority of Satan taking us here and there and everywhere. And true freedom does not come until Jesus Christ becomes Lord and Savior, because at that moment, first of all, you become brand new. That moment that you receive the Lord, the Bible says this in the book of Romans, before I knew him, I was without strength. That means that once the Lord comes and implants himself in your life, suddenly you move from being weak and without to being strong. Not in yourself, but the Bible says what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what? If I'm going to live a solid life, if I'm going to live a life where I'm treating people right, if I'm going to live a life that's based on love and kindness and peace, guess what? I can't do that on my own ability. I have to do that in Jesus Christ. You know, Paul the Apostle, one time he wrote, listen, if I have forgiven anyone, I have done that in Jesus. I want you to know something, that there are some things in life that we can't accomplish and we can't do without the Lord. Amen? Woo, praise God. I dare say that the Bible says, I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. So guess what that means? I can do nothing well without Christ. I pray that today we are people that when we make decisions, they're filtered through the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray that they're not filtered through our own way of doing things. I pray that they're not filtered through our human frailty or fears or any of those things. I pray that they are filtered through the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? I want you to know something, that really in order to just share some of these things today, I want to make sure that we know God. You know what? You should know the nature of your God. You should know his position towards you. We should try to learn as much as we can about God. You know why? Because when we learn about the Lord, we learn about ourselves. And when we learn about ourselves, guess what? we start to find our feet a little bit. We start to find freedom. We start to find what is true and what is right. I want you to know something, that once we start to find our freedom a little bit and start discovering who we are, then we can do those things like finding purpose, finding how to live life, and we can also learn, how can I make a difference? You know, it's so powerful, because I just want to reflect back on a while ago we preached on something, and what we talked about was the fact that if I were to spend so much effort and energy and work hard, and I became very successful in the world's eyes in this thing called life, and I want you to know something, that one thing we need to realize is that success in the world's eyes is different than success in the kingdom and success in life in the real way God meant for us. Listen, if you got a lot of money, that's wonderful. I'm not against that. If you're well known, that's wonderful. I'm not against it. But I want you to know something, that none of those accolades that infuse just our physical and emotional side are ever worthy of the fact that our number one most priceless thing in this world is relationship with our Father in heaven through the precious work of Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of prosperity that's beyond belief. That is the foundation of true wealth and riches. If you really want to dig down into something, what is the treasure? The treasure of life is that we find Jesus, and when we finish our course here, we make sure that we go right into him. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. I want us to know something about this thing called life, that God loves us. The reason why we can live this thing called life is because of God's love. The reason why we can trust in what we do is because if we do it God's way, it will lead to goodness and it will lead to blessing. And it will lead towards those things that are of him, by him, and for our good. Amen? I want to read something to you in the book of Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. In other words, in this life, we're going to have tough times. I want you to remember that we can read the book of Hebrews, and we can talk about faith, and I want you to have faith. And because I have faith, I always believe in the miraculous. I always believe in God's ability to do something that no man can do. I always believe that God can turn a situation around. I want you to know that even when I hear dire diagnoses about situations in people's lives, I have faith until the last breath is breathed. Amen? Praise God. If I ever get sick and I'm in a deathbed, I pray that my wife lays her hands on me to the very time I take my last breath. Amen? Because even if I get up or not, it won't change my faith. Amen. I want to remind you that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we could read it, and the Bible says this, there are those who saw great things happen while they were on this earth, but there are those that died in faith, yet believing the promise. Amen? Peter had a great story, didn't he? He was behind jails, and they planned on killing him in just a few days. And brother, Peter had a story to tell, didn't he? He had a story to tell that even the church that was praying for him couldn't believe. Amen? Peter came to the door of the very people that was praying for him to be set free from jail and not to have to die. And Peter knocked on the door. They opened the door and closed it in his face and thought they saw a ghost. Praise God, because they were praying for him. But really, in reality, sometimes our faith is still working even when we have a little bit of doubt. But what's so amazing is Peter got set free and got to shout about it. Guess what happened to Stephen? He got to lift up his hands, see the Lord, and believe in God's goodness while he got stoned to death. Amen? Why am I saying this to you? Because I want you to believe in good things. I want you to believe God for turning things around. I want you to have an absolute faith that he will, because he will. But I also want you to know something, that if you ever get disappointed in something here in life, don't you dare let that allow you to separate yourself from God. Don't you dare not believe. Don't you dare doubt. Don't you dare think that he's not with you, because everything like that would be a lie. Praise God. I want you to know something, that it's only the enemy that would use situations of life to try to get you to turn away from God. I want you to know something. Believe in him because he's good. Believe in him because he's right. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says God will give mercy to who he gives mercy to, and grace to who he'll give grace to. You better be careful, because I pray that you're not this way. But if you ever look at somebody and judge them just because of their outward life, or you ever look at somebody and judge them because of the way they've treated you, and you ever curse them or hope they go to hell because they've treated you bad, I want you to stop in your tracks and remember two things. Number one, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I could go down that path. And number two, I pray that you would do like we talked about in offering, that even the Lord himself is gracious towards the wicked and the unthankful. And I want you to know something, even for the worst people that you think have ever crossed your life, I pray that in your heart you still believe that they have a chance. Woo! Praise the Lord. Amen. And I want you to know something. I pray that you believe that they have a chance, because guess what? We've all needed them. Praise the Lord. I want you to know something. If we think about it, when I think about my relationship with God, I want you to know that I wish the first time, which I tell you what, the first time I gave my heart to the Lord, I was 5 years old. Cried a week because the church I went to at that time didn't believe that someone 5 years old could believe that they needed Jesus in their heart. And I want you to know that when I first said, I want Jesus, they said, you're too young. And after I cried all week till Wednesday, and the pastor finally met with me on Wednesday, and he said, man, I think this boy knows more about Jesus than a lot of adults. I guess we better let him sit in that chair. And the next Sunday, I got to sit in the magic chair. Praise God. Now, I don't know what was so important about that chair compared to any other chair, but they put a chair up there, and I got to sit in it, and praise God, they received my salvation. But I want you to know something. The truth is that that chair didn't stink and matter. What mattered was what was in my heart. I needed Jesus. Amen. But I'd like to tell you that from that moment till now, I walked with the Lord, but that would be a lie. I went through a season of being backslidden. Amen. Thank you for confirming, babe. Praise God. I mean, I'm glad you're celebrating. Give me a cheer. Somebody give her some pom-poms so she can shout about that. But no, anyhow, the only reason I'm telling you this is because of this. I want you to know why we need to be merciful towards other people. Yeah. Because thank God the Lord was merciful towards me when I turned away from him. Amen. Thank God that he had some patience for my immaturity. Oh, amen. Thanks God that he had some patience when I really needed it. And I could tell you countless times where the Lord helped me in the middle of that situation. Amen? In the middle of times where I wasn't even doing what was right, I want you to know that after I truly, truly got saved and stayed committed, there are times when I could look back and see that the grace of God covered me and helped me during times of weakness. And I'm really sharing this with you because I need you to have an understanding of how much God loves us and how much God is with us in every situation. It says here in the Bible that as we have, that as even during tribulations, we should rejoice and keep our faith towards God and keep a good attitude. It says, and patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And here's what I really want to get to. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You know what I love about God? In the Old Testament, one time he was speaking to Israel, and he told Israel, hey, I don't love you because you're a great nation. He said, because if I loved you just because you're a great nation, that wouldn't be true, because right now, in all honesty, you're the least or the littlest and the least and the weakest of all nations. He says, but I love you just because of who you are and because I created you. And I want us to understand that this is how God looks at us. When we were weak and without strength, when we were away from him, when we weren't even loving him, he died for us and he loved us. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whoo, praise God. Boy, I hope that gives a new revelation to the terms, I am a sinner saved by grace. Amen? I want you to know something here, that when we think about that word, why should we listen to God's commandments? Because he commanded himself. I want you to know something, that when it says that God commanded his love towards us, I want you to know something, that that means with the fullness of strength, authority, power, control, and reverential obedience, God brought his love into an authority that said, no matter what you do, no matter how far you go away from me, the minute you turn towards me, I have love for you. I thank God that he commanded his love towards us, because guess what? When Adam turned away from God in the garden, and when humanity started becoming all kinds of evil, as the Bible says in the beginning, as our hearts started to turn away from God, what's amazing is that in all honesty, at any time, God has the right to judge any of us, and he'd be justified in judging us. If he had wanted to, he could have easily said, Adam, I gave you a chance. I loved you, walked with you in the garden. How dare you walk away from me? It's over, pal. Remember, he verified how much he had the right to do it through Jesus when Jesus was here, because he said, don't you understand that right now, if I wanted to, I could just give a word and legions of angels. And guess what? It wouldn't have taken legions of angels to deal with humanity back then, because I could take you to a story in the Bible where one angel took care of 180,000 people at once. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So certainly 100 angels could handle us, but could you imagine legions, which is thousands of angels? Could you imagine what they could do? Woo! Praise the name of the Lord. And Jesus said that at any time right now, I could call. But because my Father has sent me to prove his love, I'm going to withhold all that. Even when they were given wrong accusations against the Lord, even when they were accusing him, even when they were wrongfully treating him, even when they were hitting him and putting a crown of thorns on him and hitting him, the Bible says that Jesus didn't speak anything. He walked through that time with a commitment. Now we know even clearer why he said, Father, I would that you remove this cup, but if not, not my will, but your will be done. So we demonstrate again that the will of God is that we would be saved and rescued instead of tortured, humiliated, and condemned to the place where we ought to go on our own power. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just love it that God said he commanded his love towards us. I just love it because it means that God really put his authority, his commitment towards us. And what's so amazing about it is he did it when we were at our worst. Praise God. My goodness. One reason we should have confidence in our salvation and one reason we should have peace and joy in this thing called life is because if God was willing to give us and offer us salvation when we were the most undeserving, can you imagine how much he loves us even more when we give an effort? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. I want us to just go here, and believe it or not, this is where I've been trying to get to the whole sermon. Amen. Praise God. You guys thought I was finishing, and we're just getting started. No, I'm just kidding. But I do want to take one more sidebar before I go to where I'm going to end up here. And that is I want to look at the book of James because something is said there that is very powerful. And I want you to just see this. Because it says in the book of James chapter 1 verse 16, it says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And I want you to know that a good gift is something that's free, something that is large or full or complete. It says that these are the gifts. This is the kind of gift that comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of all his creation. I want you to know something. When you think of a good and perfect gift, I want you to think of Jesus. Amen? You know, we're headed towards Easter, praise God. And I want us to really be mindful during this season of just how good our Father in heaven is when he sent Jesus to save the world. Amen? Praise God. How powerful it is that when we think of the Lord, that we think of the fact that Jesus offered his life for the life of the world. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God. And here's where we're going to go that I want to spend a few minutes in. And we're going to go to the book of 1 John. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read a lot here. Praise God. It says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know what's so powerful? The Bible says that no man can come unto the Father unless the Father provides the grace for us to come to him. You know, I think it's so funny because we grew up years ago saying, boy, when I found God. Well, first of all, God was never lost. He was always there. And what we really say is, by the grace of God, when he found me, when he saved me, when he brought me out of my broken places, amen? When he brought me out of confusion, when he brought me out of darkness, when he brought me out of those paths where I was walking away from him, I just want to be thankful for that, amen? But it says here, herein is the love of God, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we should also love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I want you to know something, that remember, when we are talking about love in the Bible, we're never talking about love in the natural sense. Because if we're not careful, there's people out there that mix up lust and love. Praise God. You know, I've heard people say, you don't understand, I love drugs. You don't love drugs, you just are compelled by drugs because it's an addiction that drives you into the lust of something that overpowers your ability to do what's right. I've had people tell me, I know it's wrong. It's caused me to steal. It's caused me to lie. It's caused me to do wrong things to those who I love. I stole money from my mother so I could get drugs. Let me tell you something. That's not love. I want you to tell you what supernatural love is that God's talking about here. When he says that I need to love like God loves, guess what? That means I better put this young lady above myself. I better care about her well-being as much, if not more, than my own well-being. It means that I'm not willing to try to hurt her purposely. It means that even if she frustrates me and makes me mad, I mean, you don't even know when you frustrate me and make me mad, do you?
Oh, I know.
I try to hide it from her, praise God. But what I'm saying is that even when she frustrates me and makes me mad, if I'm using the God kind of love, guess what? I'm going to have patience. I'm not just going to grow bitter towards her. I'm not going to remove myself from her and say, I can't take it anymore. No, I'm going to say, God, help me love beyond this. Help me forgive. And I'm not asking her to change, Lord. I'm asking you to help me change so that her behavior doesn't irritate me the way it used to. Praise the Lord. And I know, brother, she's had to pray that prayer towards me more than once. But what I'm talking about is when we read these scriptures about love and we think about us as people of faith, whether it's towards our family or whether it's towards others, it can't be some outward kind of love. Remember, we even talked about it during offering, that it can't be the kind of love that says, hey, I'm going to do something kind to you and you do something kind to me. And as long as you do something kind to me, I'll do something kind to you. But as soon as you don't do something kind to me, I'm going to cut you off. That's not love. That's not God kind of love. God's kind of love says, hey, even when you make a mistake, I'm going to give you another chance. One chance? Brother, you better get that out of your thought, because the Bible says that love doesn't cover one mistake. It covers a multitude of them. Amen? In fact, the Bible says this. You know what? I used to tell some of my friends when I first got saved that would say, how can you be saved? You used to do this, this, and this. And I tell them, I don't remember that. Oh, I would drive them nuts. But really what I was telling them is, hey, when the Lord forgave me, he removed my wrong as far as the east is from the west. I can go east and never run into the west. Amen. I can go west and never run into the east. What does that mean? That once something is forgiven by the Lord, he wipes our slate so clean that we can be like Paul the Apostle, the killer of the brethren, the murderer of Christians, stoning them, giving them the sword, killing them. Yet in the Bible, in his salvation, what does it say? I have wronged no man. Does it mean that Paul was trying to ignore the fact that he did those things? No, what he was doing was resting in an authority that's higher than him and saying, God, even if I didn't feel like I deserved it, I'm going to use my faith to believe what you said, that the blood of Jesus has washed me free from sin and I have been redeemed by his goodness. Woo! Praise God. Suddenly, we should be able to forgive ourselves and move forward. Hallelujah. We should be able to move far from our past and believe that we will be different in our future. Amen? The Lord can handle every situation that we've been through and will handle everything needed for us to move forward. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. You know what it says here in the Bible? Right here in these scriptures that we're reading in the book of 1 John chapter 4, it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Here is our love made perfect, that we may, and that means that our love is complete in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You know what this word is saying to us? That whether I face judgment because the Lord returns, or whether my day of judgment comes because I die and leave this earth, I can have boldness in that moment because of the goodness and the love of God and what he did for us through Jesus Christ. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. You know what this scripture really tells us? Is that because of Jesus, we can have some peace in our relationship with God. We can have peace about the forgiveness of our yesterday, and we have confidence moving into our tomorrow. And not because I'll be perfect tomorrow, but because in my tomorrow, the love of God is already ready to help me navigate this thing called life. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo! This is what's so amazing, and this is one of the things that I really want to get into our heart today. And it says in verse 19, why do we love him? No, it doesn't say that. I'm saying that. It says this: we love him because he first loved us. I want you to know something, that your Father in heaven has laid out his love for us. He moved in our life first. He made the way through Jesus first. He created us in the garden and breathed his breath in us first. And if we really receive God for who he is, as our Father in heaven that wants nothing but the best for us, if we can really receive him for who he is, then we can start walking in this relationship and the kind of love that not only has he granted towards us, but we can expect to receive. Amen? That's why we don't have to be afraid when we face God. That's why we don't have to hold anything back when we pray to him. That's why we don't have to be fearful when we put things before him. I want you to know something. Even the things that we discover in ourselves that are not right. When I discover something that I need to change, I can still go to God with the confidence knowing that he loves me. And not only, guess what? There's some things that we're not even aware of wrong unless God makes us aware. Praise the Lord. And if he makes us aware, guess what? That means he's right there to help us navigate whatever we need to navigate. Amen? We love him because he first loved us. And I just want to go through and finish up here with a few things. This is a real scripture of accountability. You might want to run before I read this. Because once you know it, you're accountable for it. Don't leave. It says, if a man say that I love God, but I hate my brother, guess what? He is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he have not seen? Woo! You want to know one of the best ways to know you're saved? Is to be able to love other people. You know, when your heart changes towards other people, I want you to know that before I was saved and when I was backslidden, there was something in me that when I made a relationship, it was an idea that that relationship would bring gain to my life some way. You have people around you that, yeah, you might like them, you might even say you love them, but really you have motives of getting things from them. And when you start loving people out of a Christ-like love and a faith-based love, listen, you just want people to have a good experience when they're around you. You just want people to be better off for having interacted with you. You know what? You want people to be well. You want to pray for them. You want to think well of them. You want to help them. You want to be an encouragement to them. When you start having the love of God in you, the way the love of God should be in you, guess what? You start caring about others, and you don't have motive towards them except for hopefully improving their relationship with Christ or bringing them into a position to want a relationship with Jesus. Amen? So, one of the ways that we prove our salvation is real is how we're treating other people, what we desire for other people. Because if I can't love you who I've come in contact to and can see you, how in the world can I say that I love God who I cannot see right now? Amen? This commandment I have we from him, that we who love God love his brother also. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. You know, I didn't bring it up today, but John 13:34 says that one of the ways that we are going to be known as the body of Christ is by how we love. Praise God. You know, when people come in here, no matter where they've been in life, no matter where they currently are at in life, no matter if they got things going on that are that we know aren't right biblically, guess what? We should love them. You know, I love it when people come up to me and say, hey, I got to tell you something. One thing that made me like the church is I really felt love and kindness when I came to the church. That should be what we feel, amen? I want you to know something, that we are going to have to man up and woman up. Praise God. And make sure that we are people that because we love God, we love our brother. Because we love God, we love our sister in Christ. And even those who are not yet there, we love. Isn't it amazing that Solomon, one of the prayers he had for the church in the very beginning is once he built the house, he said, oh God, when we come here, Father, I pray that God, you will bring provision, you'll move, you'll touch. And then you know what he had the nerve to say? He said, and Lord, I pray that when the stranger comes, in other words, when those who don't know you, those who don't yet have a relationship with you, those who yet are outside of the family, so to speak, when they come and they lift up a prayer for you, I pray that you hear them. How about that? How about us, instead of judging people, whether they be in the church or on Facebook, how about before we get after them about everything that's wrong with them, we first ask God to hear them? Amen. Praise God. I thank God that when we first went to church, that people didn't sit us down and try to tell us what was right, what was wrong, what we need to fix first. Because I'm telling you, their priorities was way different than what God wanted to fix. Because guess what? They couldn't even see what God needed to fix. You know, the first thing my wife didn't need was a sermon of what she should be doing and how kind she should be to people and what she should do as a righteous woman. No, the first thing she needed to do was let God heal her heart from years of abuse and harshness so that she could believe that a dominant male figure in her life like her Father in heaven could love her with compassion and kindness. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. And we won't even go into the litany of things that God had to fix in me first. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Honey, you're probably one of the first people that's ever come into my life that I wanted more for than just what I could get for myself. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we exalt you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, God. And Father, we just take time to know who you are. Know your motive towards us. Know that you loved us, Father, and that you are a God of love. Because by knowing you, God, we can let walls down. By knowing you, we can be vulnerable and transparent. And by that, we can be healed. We can be set free. We can find freedom. We can come out of the bondage of darkness and the work of Satan. And we can find ourselves in you. And once we find you, we can discover purpose and we can make a difference and we can start doing those things that you would have us do. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, right now, I put Mary before you, Father God. And Lord, I pray that you just intervene, Father God, from the effect of this seizure to everything else that she's battling, God. I pray, God, that you bring healing, clarity of mind, and restoration to her. In Jesus' name. Lord, I put Tanja before you, Father, and right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God, I just ask you to move and heal her, Father God. Lord, remove every symptom, every pain, every hurt, Father. Restore, God, cartilage, bone, whatever it is, Father God, we just ask you in Jesus' name to bring healing and restoration, Father, and we thank you for it. And God, right now I pray that when Roger takes this trip by himself, Father God, Lord, that you would be with him, that you would keep him, that you would give him a safe journey to and a safe journey back, Father, and that you would just add your blessing upon this, Father, and upon this trip. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to know something. The Bible says this, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I just pray that the Spirit of God and the hand of His goodness will be upon you all of this week and forever. And I want to remind you that when you call upon Him, the Bible says He's with those that call upon Him. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And those who are going to stay for next step, get ready. We'll get started in a few. Amen. Praise God.